It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right. Thank you for hanging out with us at Davin's Den, whether you're listening live at davincomedy.com, watching us on the Facebook page of Davin's Den Facebook page, or listen to the podcast. We certainly appreciate your ears or eyes. So the big big story this weekend, Joe and Pip, was the one of the big stories. There's so much news going on. Was Donald Trump's return to the rallies, the big rallies. COVID-19 had kind of sidelined the president from doing one of his favorite things, getting in front of a bunch of people and doing a little Donald Trump show and getting cheers and, you know, mix of stand-up, mix of politics, mix of I don't know, street performer. It's a whole you go to the Donald Trump rally, you get a lot. You're not just going to hear political speeches. You get a show. I mean, now it's a show that we've seen a lot of before, but it's a show nonetheless. Stay for the wall. You know, come for the wall, stay for the drinking water bit. I don't know. You most certainly do. Well, that was the plan. So like I said, this is going to be the first indoor event at an arena since the country shut down for COVID-19. The arena holds over more than 19,000 people. Now, the interesting thing is he went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Trump did not... What the heck's going on? I don't need that. Enough. Thank you, Rat. Thank you, Rat. I enjoy Rat, too, but not now. I just let it keep on playing. Hey, listen, they had to cancel their tour. It's not like they can't play here. So, but, yeah, so they had to cancel their tour. They could. I've seen them twice. Anyway, so he didn't pick a battleground state. He picked Oklahoma, which is a very red, very Republican state. And basically, this rally was to lift the spirits and relaunch his campaign. I mean, if you wanted to do something, you know, to possibly affect it, you'd go to a battleground state like Wisconsin or Michigan or Florida or Arizona or Georgia even. That you would go there. But, you know, Oklahoma's probably going to go for Trump in the election. But he wanted to lift his spirits. Now, he picked Tulsa, which is where the Black Wall Street Massacre occurred in 1921. And that, I guess a lot of people don't know what it is. I didn't until HBO had a show about it this past year. I had never heard of it, which is where around 300 black people were slaughtered by white racists. And he picked Juneteenth, which is the day the last of the slaves were declared free after the Civil War. But after considerable pushback, he moved the event from Friday to Saturday. Now, Juneteenth is like an all-weekend celebration. But I guess Friday was the big day for Juneteenth, so he moved it. I will say my public education system has failed. The public education system failed me. I did not know much about these events. Anyway, the Trump campaign was expecting a big turnout. The campaign said they had 1 million ticket requests. 1 million ticket requests, which is very impressive. That they had planned an outdoor event to coincide with the indoor event, complete where the president would be speaking for about 20 minutes to the live crowd. I'm sure they would have had Pence and some other people there, too. But I liken it to when I saw Aerosmith many years ago, not that many years ago, I guess, and they at an outdoor venue, and most of the show was on the big stage, but then they came out to the little stage and the cheap seats. Although all these for the Tulsa event, all the seats were free, but that was nice. Aerosmith came to the wee people, and I enjoyed that. And I guess, that's what the president was going to do. Listen, you motherfuckers, you couldn't get inside, you didn't camp out for 5 days like these jabronis over here. I'm going to give you a little taste, a little bit of the water, a little bit of the ramp, a little bit of the wall. You know, give you a little taste of what you could have gotten if you would have been willing to camp out, you lazy motherfuckers. You, that was the plan. Well, he said it under his breath. I feel like that's what he thought. Sure.
Yeah. So it's even hyperbole.
What the hell's going on? Why aren't I picking you guys up loudly? What's going on? Oh, let's see. All right. No, I'm not picking. Hold on. Joe, talk, please. Somebody talk.
Oh, okay. Hello? Can you tell?
Hello? No, I know why. Oh, that was my stupidity. Fucking A.
Stupid.
No, I did. Good thing I was doing most of the talking. No, what happened was, because I had to call you guys back on the break, I didn't put the microphone by the phone. So the Zoom microphone was there. So on Zoom they could hear it, but for the podcast, I mean, I was doing most of the talking, so it wasn't that bad. But now I fixed the situation.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Glad I checked. It's a fucking one man shit show. It really is. So here's what.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about this show, or we're talking about the rally?
That was a multi man shit show. This was a one man shit show. So
okay.
I don't know which is worse.
Making it clear.
I would like to think at this point. Well, I don't know who has higher expectations. Either way, it's a shit show. But so this is what happened leading up to it. It was very interesting what happened. So cases of COVID-19 in Oklahoma rose by 450 on Thursday, and that blew past the record of 259 daily cases reported the day before. So they are surging. As the surge of infections continue to have their massive rally for President Trump and demonstrations set for this weekend in Tulsa, the Oklahoma State Health Department daily update showed Oklahoma City added 80 cases and Tulsa added 82, as the state's total rose to 9,354. There were two additional deaths, raising the total 366. The figures were released not long after Governor Kevin Stitt participated in a roundtable at the White House and told Trump that Oklahoma was one of the first states that has safely measurably reopened. Did ya? Were ya? Ugh. And it's kind of interesting what's going on in the country now, because just a couple weeks ago we were saying, well, it's not as hit hard as in the other regions, and I was like, yeah, but they should still be taking care because it's gonna get you, and now it's getting you. Anyway, the surge in COVID-19 cases in Oklahoma is being driven largely by increases among younger people, according to the state health department. Figures that show 54% of the new cases in the past 2 weeks were people 35 and younger. Hospitalization topped 200 for the first time since May 20th, rising to 211, according to information released Thursday evening. Though Stitt has spoken frequently about the state flattening the curve of new cases, the reopening of state businesses since late April has led to the highest daily case numbers seen in Oklahoma since the pandemic began. Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt said Thursday on Twitter that the recent spike in cases has not been matched with the spike in hospitalizations and deaths because the new cases were disproportionately driven by people under the age of 35. That was and is a new twist in our city's pandemic story. Holt tweeted, case numbers matter, but it also matters who is accounting for those cases and how the virus is affecting them. State Health Commissioner Lance Fry said Wednesday, once you reopen, we are expecting an increase in numbers, quite frankly, because as people get out and they move around more, as businesses open up, you're going to have more increased contact and you're going to have increased numbers. Now, I must stop right there. That is not true. And the three of us are living that, because our state, New York, has been opening up, but we are all have to wear masks when we go outside and still told to social distance. And now we have, after being the epicenter of the pandemic in the world, we now have the lowest infection rate in the United States. So kudos to us and kudos to our governor. And it is a misnomer. Just because you open up does not mean, I mean, yes, you're going to have more than if everybody was staying at home, but you can open up safely. If you enforce guidelines and if your population believes in the guidelines, we are living that now. Every couple of weeks, we are getting more and more things back. A couple of weeks ago, I got a haircut, still had to wear a mask. Got a haircut, you go outside, you still have to wear a mask. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah, but we get to do more and more things now because we put the work in. And so it's a misnomer what they're saying there. They're gonna have to address this. They're gonna have to address this. Public health officials have cautioned that participants risk infection or spreading the disease. The Trump campaign announced that it would take temperatures at the door and distribute masks and hand sanitizer, though people won't have to wear masks. So they have said that the way you get the best chance for infection is a large crowd over a large amount of time, close together, under a roof. That's what they have said. Now, I will say, at one point, Donald Trump didn't want anybody wearing masks. So the fact that they were giving out masks, they moved a little bit on it. Because I remember when they were first talking about this Tulsa rally, you know, Donald Trump's like, I don't like to see people in masks. I go, well, then I'm thinking, well, then you would have hated to see a stagecoach robbery. But anyway. The management company for the Box Center released a statement saying that it would encourage all attendees to remain masked throughout the duration of the event until they exit the building. Signage reminding attendees of precautions will be placed throughout the building. Fry also suggested that people be tested before and after the events this weekend. Leading members of the coronavirus task force warned White House officials about the health risks of holding large-scale indoor campaign rallies and advise against such mass gatherings, according to people familiar with the discussions. Dr. Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert and task force response coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, both vocalized concerns internally in the last week about the safety of holding a rally on Saturday with as many as 19,000 people in an enclosed arena in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But President Donald Trump and his campaign advisors are proceeded with the event, which was expected to draw tens of thousands inside and outside, and the venue who will neither be socially distant nor required to wear face coverings. They claim attendees assume a personal risk, and this is part of life. This comes despite the Trump administration's own Centers for Disease Control and Prevention new guidance, which classifies huge crowd settings as highest risk, especially when it's not possible for people to be 6 feet apart. The Box Center requested a more detailed safety plan for the Trump campaign, which as of 24 hours before the event, had not yet submitted one. We're making this shit up. Campaign officials have warned individuals with pre-existing conditions or other factors that would put them more at risk for contracting and battling the virus not to attend Saturday's rally, where supporters had to sign a digital waiver releasing the campaign and president of any liability if they get sick. There's been regular conversation between senior administration officials and the campaign about steps and precautions that can't be taken, one White House official said. Nobody's taking this lightly. Executive Director of Health Department in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Bruce Dart, has worked night and day alongside his staff to flatten the COVID-19 curve. We started to trend downward, he said. Hospitals got a breather and a chance to work on their surge plans. But then on June 10th, with the cases beginning to rise about 6 weeks into the governor's aggressive effort to reopen the economy, Dart got almost unimaginably bad news. President Trump was planning a massive political rally at the 19,000-seat Box Center in Tulsa, essentially painting a viral bullseye on the city. It was all over Twitter, said Dart, and my marketing director brought it up. Helpless to stop the event, Dart now fears the worst. I am personally extremely concerned, not only for what is going to happen this weekend, but what we're going to have to deal with 2 weeks from now, he told Vanity Fair. I think we're in the potential for a perfect storm of disease transmission that Tulsa County does not need, calling the risks horrific yet. This could be a Beyonce concert, and I'd still feel the same way. On Tuesday, former Vice President Dick Cheney's cardiologist, Dr. Jonathan Reiner, went a step further, calling Trump's plan for the rally criminal endangerment that was risking lives. And now this is the waiver that you had to sign if you want to go. By clicking register below, you are acknowledging that an inherent risk of exposure to COVID-19 exists in any public place where people are present, the disclaimer notes. By attending the rally, you and any guest voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure to COVID-19 and agree not to hold Donald J. Trump for President Inc., Box Center, ASM Global, or any of their affiliates, directors, officers, employees, agents, contractors, or volunteers liable for any illness or injury. Days before hosting the rally, President Trump said in a Wall Street Journal interview that some people at the rally this Saturday may catch coronavirus, but added it's a very small percentage. According to a CNN analysis of Johns Hopkins University data, Oklahoma averaged about 230 new cases per day over the week ending June 17th, which is up approximately 110% from the previous seven-day period. Trump also claimed, according to the journal, that some Americans wore face masks as a political statement against him as a preventive measure. Fuck you, Donald. I'm wearing this mask. Fuck you. I've said that many times as I put on my mask. And I'm going, you know what? Further fuck you. I'm going to clean my hands. How do you like them apples? Okay. Joe's the only one not laughing today, but okay.
I'm wiping my hands in fuck you sanitizer.
I'll tell you
there
what.
There it is.
For 8 years under the Bush administration, I wiped my ass out of spite. That's what I did. This is a spite wipe, W. I don't even care if I have an itchy ass. I'm just wiping to piss you off.
I can't even tell you what I did to my bush.
Well, not much. It was eight years of a jungle down there. You're not good on the environment, so I'm not going to cut down this tree.
I'm going to let my environment grow because
yes.
You're not.
Yes, and all the critters that lived in there were appreciative. Wow.
I something flew out. I don't know.
Sounded like a fucking crow.
It wasn't blue call. We don't want to confuse the issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Work your own side of the street, lady.
Guidance from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention makes it clear that Americans should wear a mask. A local official involved in planning said they expected 100,000 to show up at the Bank of Oklahoma Arena on Saturday. Six staffers working on President Donald Trump's rally in Tulsa have tested positive. Actually, that's now up to eight, by the way. That's up to eight. Just that's up to eight. So six were sent home. They tested positive. And then two more that worked the rally tested positive. So eight. Just hours before the president is expected to arrive in the state, Trump campaign communications director Tim Murtaugh said in a statement that per safety protocols, campaign staff are tested for COVID-19 before events. Six members of the advance team tested positive. Out of hundreds of tests performed and quarantine procedures were immediately implemented. No COVID positive staffers or anyone in immediate contact will be at today's rally. But again, that changed because then there was two more. Trump spent much of Saturday upset because he believes the coverage of the campaign staffers who have tested for coronavirus and the status of U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman are oversharing what he'd hoped would be his triumphant return to the campaign trail. Trump was supposed to speak at the outside overflow event. The setup was people standing closely together outside with Trump on a stage surrounded by plexiglass for his safety from COVID-19. I don't know if you guys saw that before I broke it down, but they had, like, Trump was going to be in, like, a little plexiglass cage there. I don't know if you guys saw that.
In the Pope Mobile.
Yes, except that wasn't mobiling any place. It was stationary.
It's the Pope non-mobile.
Yes. The outside event was canceled shortly before it was going to start because there was really no crowd to speak of. Shortly before the event was to begin, inside the Trump campaign sent a text telling people to come to the arena because there's still room. Been there with comedy shows. All right, I got to call a couple more people, fill up the front row. This looks really fucking bad. Been there, done that. He did. The tickets were free, Joe. What more is he going to do? Joe, he ticketed the room. He's given free masks and sanitizer. Well, he did all he could do.
It's like, did you hear about the TikTok thing? Look, we tried to paper the room. You know what we're gonna do?
Actually, if he had papered the room with toilet paper, more people would have shown up.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the fire marshal said there were 6,200 people in attendance for the 19,200-seat arena. Many of the audience was told to come down to the lower level where they were seated closely with each other. The Trump campaign blamed the media and violent protesters who blocked the entrance to the event. Reports are there were minimal protesters, entrances were not blocked, and there was a lot of security on hand. As I said, two staffers got sick. After another round of testing for campaign staff in Tulsa, two additional members of the advance team tested positive. These members attended the rally but were wearing masks during the entire event. Upon the positive test, the campaign immediately activated established quarantine and contact tracing protocols, Trump campaign communications director Tim Murtaugh said. So here's the thing. I've laid out what was going on leading up to this. You got an area that's surging in infections. You don't have to wear a mask. It's the most dangerous place you could be inside, theoretically, with a large crowd, and you have to sign a waiver. Forget about a Trump campaign rally. Is there any type of event that you would attend in these circumstances? Because for me, I guess for me, it would be an Aerosmith concert, and I would go, nah, I'm going to sit this one out. There's just way too much shit going on. But I believe in science.
Yeah. Well, that's most likely what happened. I mean, look, basically, you had your choice to go. You had your choice to wear a mask or not. You sign a waiver. You have your choice whether you're going to go and sign the waiver or not.
But you couldn't get a ticket if you didn't sign the waiver. You did not get a ticket to go inside unless you signed that waiver.
Then that's a choice you make. You make your choice.
What I'm asking you is there any event that you would go jump through all these hoops to go to?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, if I felt that I wanted to see it. Like, let's say a Rammstein concert. If that, you know, if I had a chance to wear a mask, I'd go that. If the Aerosmith, then not the Aerosmith, the Motley Crue.
That was outside. That was outside, Joe, and we already had the tickets.
But inside, yeah, I would go in. Now you have a choice. You have a choice, a personal choice, whether you're going to wear a mask or not wear a mask. You have a choice whether you're going to sign the waiver or not. It's up to you to decide if you want to put up with that. You also have a choice to decide if you're going to be dealing with protesters going in or not. So basically, I think the attendance was due to the fact of all the factors going on.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Joe. Here's why it comes down. It could be one of two things. It's either when it comes to this, they believe their doctors and Dr. Fauci instead of Donald Trump. Because if you listen to Donald Trump, we don't need to test. You don't need to wear a mask. We're all the doctors saying we need more testing and you do need to wear a mask. So they're either making that choice. It's either that or there's not as much enthusiasm for this president. And that could be – it's possible that's the case because Biden is up in the poll numbers. He's up in the battleground states. And in May – Joe Biden actually did better in fundraising than Donald Trump. So I don't know what it is. It could be a combination of all sorts of things.
It's got a combination of both. He's got, it's also a debate, debatable by Woody Troy. Yes, Trump drew 6,200. The rallies that Biden had in March didn't even draw close to that. The argument could be made, he did drew in Philly back in March. His campaign said he drew 6,000 people in an outdoor gathering. He said that's kind of debatable. Maybe it was about 4,000. In St. Louis, he drew hundreds. At Gillies, which was in Texas, when he had the announcement that he would be the candidate, Gillies will handle about 3,800 in the main room. So that if graciously all rooms were filled in Gillies, 7,200.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. First of all, Donald Trump is the one who makes a big deal about crowd size. Not nobody else. That's Donald Trump's thing. That's always been his thing, crowd size. You never hear other candidates. I get it for the enthusiasm. That being said, yes, Donald Trump won the election, but Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes while Donald Trump was filling places and Hillary wasn't filling places. So it really doesn't. Crowd size only matters if you think it matters, and Donald Trump thinks it matters. But back to my question, Pip: is there any event where you would jump through all these hoops? People might not wear a mask. You have to sign a waiver. You're in a city where the infection rate is climbing. Is there any event that you would attend?
If they somehow resurrected John Lennon and George Harrison and got the Beatles together.
Okay. Okay. All right. So basically a miracle.
Yeah, or a complete suspension of all physical laws that we and philosophical laws that we understand.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, there's just so many things, but we think differently. Even Joe thinks differently on this topic than a lot of the Trump a lot of the Trump fans do not believe in this shit. I think because we live where we live and because Joe spoke to nurses, Joe does believe in this, and you know,
and because I had a family member who died of it,
right? But we tend to believe science more. The Trump fan does not. Joe stands out in some regard in this matter, and the fact that he's believed in the mask pretty much since day one. He wasn't going, this is bullshit.
Well, you're absolutely right. Just a couple of takeaways on it to look at it. He drew 6,200 people. The message got out, on Fox News and stuff like that. They ran with that. I was listening to WOR this morning. They have every Tuesday is Alex Christianos, who I always find very interesting with his comments. And one comment was made as a takeaway from this. Trump has to realize that due with the pandemic, he needs to get his message out without relying on the conventions, the events.
But Joe, but here's the thing: these rallies, they're not to get the message out. Trump has no problem getting his message out. Whatever the message is, we all know what he's thinking. Whether he's doing an interview, whether he's tweeting, this is to lift his spirits. That's what this was all about. He feeds off the crowd. He likes people laughing at, I guess, his comedy. I don't know. I mean, listen, you saw that. He showed he could drink a glass of water with one hand, and they went nuts. Apparently, that's a big deal now. Pip is using two cups. That's why she's not presidential at this moment. But
he should, he should gather a place where there is social distancing. You don't need many people there. and film it from there.
That's what Biden's doing. That's what Biden does, and then Trump goes, oh, look, he drew nobody to his rally. No, stupid, it wasn't a rally. You saw circles around it. There was a couple people seated there. That's what he's doing. Today, as we're doing this, Donald Trump is in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, where again, COVID-19 is rising. He's doing an event in a church for 3,000 young Republicans packed in there. The mayor of Phoenix said he's breaking the law, essentially, because it goes against the mandate. You can't have this stuff. So another reason to go, fuck you with your law and order. No, if you're paying attention, he's not the law and order guy. He needs this shit. Donald Trump needs this. You're absolutely right. He should figure out another way to connect, but it's not about connecting.
I'll put it to you this way. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a lot of attendance in Arizona. I think it's going to be the same attendance. And he needs to realize that we're in a pandemic. People are cautious. They're not going. Also, with the protesters, they might be shy. He still can get the message out in a smaller venue with social distancing and have it out on Fox News, the internet, whatever. If he doesn't realize this and he loses, it's his own fault. And it brings it up to what you said about 30 minutes ago. You know, Donald Trump, the only guy that's beating Donald Trump is Donald Trump. You know, and like I said, I voted for him. I support him. I will vote for him again. But I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, that's not true. And, you know, there was a lot of people that came as the pro. No. It was due to people still having a bit of fear of the COVID-19 and maybe having a tangle with the protesters that might be out there. If he goes to Phoenix, you know, be damned.
He's there now.
It's still the. I'm sorry?
He's in Phoenix right now in a 3,000-seat mega church talking to young Republicans who are online not wearing masks. And see, to me, this is what it comes down to. The disregard, and I know Trumpsters feel like this guy loves them. He doesn't. Because when you wear a mask, you're doing it to protect somebody else. If you guys were here right now, I'd be wearing a mask to protect you. That's why you wear a mask. He knows this shit's real. He talks down the testing. He talked about it at the rally like you don't need it. But everybody around him gets tested all the time. On that little outside thing where he was going to speak, he was surrounded by plexiglass. His fans...
Yeah, but with his ego, a mask shows weakness. Now, I'm not defending that, you know, but it projects weakness.
Why does that show weakness, but dodging the draft five times doesn't? Explain me that. I mean, come on. It's the most ridiculous thing, and we're going to get more into the mask. It's completely fucking, like, courtesy. Courtesy and science makes you a snowflake liberal pussy. No, it makes you an intelligent, functioning member of society.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I didn't realize that the church rally was tonight. I wonder what the attendance is.
I think it's, listen, I don't know if he's going to pack the place. It's 3,000 seats. It's for a young Republicans club. I don't know, but the fact is, he's not leading. He has all the information. He has some of the best minds in the world telling him what he should be doing. They just testified again under oath. He's not leading.
But you know what? When you have a populace where, you know, you're presented with all that, and we need to do this, but if you want to riot or protest, you know, Black Lives Matter, go out, do whatever you want.
Hold on. I don't want to get... Don't compare the President of the United States, who told us he's a wartime president fighting an invisible enemy, who took an oath to protect us all, every American, versus people who are going to these his rallies or protesters. Completely different. You want to compare protesters and rally goers? Fine, you could do that. But Donald Trump is different. He has all the information. He's the leader. He took an oath to protect us. He knows the fucking deal. He knows, but he is choosing, because he's so sick, because he thinks this is a weakness, he's choosing to endanger all these people. All these people, and again, I'm holding you out from this because you've been on the right side of this the whole time, but all these people, you see them, they're interviewed. No, I don't believe it's real. I don't believe it's going to affect me. If Donald Trump got up there and told them, this is real, it's going to affect you, there, you wear a mask, they would believe it. They would believe it. But he doesn't give a shit about them, which is, I don't understand, it's so self-destructive, because these are people that are going to be voting for him. And, you know, he needs these people alive in a few months. If these people get sick, and they get really ill. Do you think they're going to fucking vote for him? No, they're going to feel this guy lied to them. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's so self-destructive. It's such a failure of leadership. All you got to do is wear a mask. You're not a pussy if you wear a mask. Just put on the stupid mask. I on my Facebook page, we got into it. Well, he wants to hold rallies. Fine. First of all, you shouldn't be holding rallies. But if you want to hold a rally, fine. Do it outside. Social distance. Tell everybody to wear a mask. Hold your fucking rally. Do it on the lawn of a football stadium. Do it on the tarmac of an airbase or something. Have that rally. Get that rush. Just do it safely. That's all we're saying. I'm not saying this guy has to stay in the White House. I want him out as soon as possible. I'm saying, just do it fucking safely.
Why doesn't he tell the protesters that?
But again, because the protesters are fucking wearing masks, most of them. Again, if you want to do a comparison, you compare rally goers to protesters. That's the comparison. You cannot compare the president to protesters. Because the president took an oath. The president told us he's a wartime president. He told us he's a wartime president fighting the invisible enemy. I got news for you. The invisible enemy is not fucking defeated. He's in Tulsa. He's in Phoenix right now. Just because you know, you're tired of this shit. And we've talked about this how many times? The COVID-19 does not give a shit that we're tired of it, that we're bored of it, that we're ready to go on to the next. It doesn't care. And now you see the European Union is like, yeah, we're not going to let Americans in. Canada, which really has COVID-19 under control, they're not letting us in now. We are failing, and it doesn't have to be this way. We're failing because of the hubris of one man. He has the best minds at his disposal. It is not weakness. It is leadership. Go listen. This is what the doctors say. You know, I want to do a rally. I feel good to be my people. We're going to do it outside. We're going to do it. We got this massive space. You spread apart. Wear masks. I'm going to be there. We're going to have huge screens. We're going to have a band going. We're going to have Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American. We're going to have all the shit. Mike Pence is going to be there. Mother will be there. Melania won't be there because, quite frankly, she's sick of this shit already. But it's going to be – he can still do this shit and keep his people safe.
But it seems interesting that you say that when he got chastised by Governor Cuomo that the states dictate what's going on and the governors dictate what's going on policy on handling the COVID, not the president. And he pretty much stepped back on that.
But apparently it doesn't matter what's happening locally because the mayor and the mayor of Phoenix said you're breaking the law, don't do this. And the Tulsa Health Department said we don't want this right now. So you had to handle it locally, and he don't give a shit. So he wants it both ways, and I understand it. I understand for the vast majority of Trump supporters, I'm just a snowflake liberal who's just fucking crying shit. But really, I'm talking sense here. I'm not really taking a political position. If anything, if he would follow my advice, he'd be appealing to more people, and he would look like a stronger leader, and he wouldn't be playing up to this machismo shit, which is going to get some people killed. Some people are going to die from this shit. It might not be the young kids. It might be their parents. But where's the consideration for the first responders that have to work that event? Where's the consideration for the event staff at the Bach Center, the Bach Arena that has to work that stuff? Where's the consideration for the community where these people who attended that event are now going to be exposed because these people are going to go back out into the community? There's no consideration. It's a complete lack of leadership. It's a lack of humanity. You know, listen, like I said, we wear the mask out of consideration. That's what you were doing. I wear the mask to protect you. If we all wear the mask, we protect each other and we stop this shit. And it's just mind-blowing. Like I said,
I think you got to understand. I think that when you go out to Oklahoma, the way COVID has been hitting Oklahoma is a lot different than the way we're hitting New York. Number two, we've watched this destroy lives, destroy businesses. And now with the COVID rate, I mean, it's a 90%, a 98% recovery rate and a two-week recovery on that. And there are people that figure, I'll take my chances and I will recover from this and at least I'm out doing something or I'm out.
But Joe, you're missing my point. You're missing my point. Yes, you might recover, but you wear the mask because somebody else might not recover. You, my friend, are in high risk. You had diabetes, you got some heart issues now going on, you're getting older, you're a little overweight, blah blah blah. You are at risk.
Gee, Wiz, thanks a lot. Why don't you tell me I'm fucking ugly? Jesus Christ,
Well, you interrupted me.
He didn't start on my laundry list. Hold on.
I take a breath and you ruined me. I was on a roll. What? What'd you say? What'd he say?
I didn't hear you, Joe.
It's probably better that way.
Oh, you're not exactly a specimen yourself.
No, I'm not. No, I'm getting older. I'm overweight. I don't have diabetes or anything. But sure, certainly not. No, of course. But the point is not our appearance is not the point. The point is you do these things to take care of the people that are not as healthy in the community.
But at this point in time, if you are in that group, it's your personal choice to be if you want to be in a situation like that or if you.
But here's the thing: it shouldn't be personal choice. I'm giving a perfect parallel example to it, and then maybe we'll move on. We used to smoke inside. It was a personal choice whether you wanted to smoke inside. Now you can no longer smoke inside. Is it taking away your personal choice? Yes, but your actions by smoking inside were endangering other people. So you still have the choice to smoke. You just can no longer do it where you're endangering other people. That's what this is.
Right, but on the flip side of that, if you go to a place where you don't like the smoking inside, then you choose not to go to that place.
If you make the rule, then you don't get the opportunity to endanger other people. That's why we make these rules. Nobody likes this shit. But that's why. Listen, like I said, New York is the perfect example because we are wearing masks. We are in one of the fucking safest places. This is how mind-blowing it is. When baseball comes back, the Yankees and Mets will be having spring training in New York, not Florida, because Florida is not safe anymore, and New York is safe. Why is it safe? Because Governor Cuomo said, if you're going to go outside, you're going to be by people, you're going to have to wear a mask. You're going to go inside, you have to wear a mask. And we do it. And we don't like it. And some of us bitch and complain. And it's annoying. And it's hot. And this, that, the other thing. But we do it. And we're reaping the rewards. And it would
say... We were also ground zero for it because you have three major international airports.
Yes, Joe. That's why we got hit. Absolutely. But these other places are now, because they don't have all the hospitals we have, they are coming up to the same situation where they might be running out of beds. You hear the medical officials talking about this. We're getting close to we're running out of beds. We don't want this here. Don't come here. It was irresponsible of him. This is all about his ego, and it's a lack of leadership, and he knows it. He goes, oh, I want less testing. He said that, and his aides go, oh, he's kidding, and he goes, no, I'm not kidding. I meant that. He wants less testing, but if you work around President Trump, you are getting tested regularly. He knows how important this shit is. He just doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. It's all about optics, and because he's so fucking stupid, he doesn't understand that the optics are actually making him look worse. He could have been the hero. He could be kicking Biden's ass right now if he would have grabbed this by the horn and lead and go, listen, I don't like masks. It's uncomfortable, but here's the deal. I'm doing this to protect the people around me. I'm doing this for them. This is why you should do this. If he took the lead, no, what, you're telling me a Trumpster's going to fucking leave after all the shit he's done to go, all right, you know, I was with Donald Trump, but then he told me to wear a mask, and that was a bridge too far. No!
That could be it with his base. I mean,
then they're stupid.
I think it's going to be a Dukakis in the tank moment.
Listen, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, but I can't tell them to wear a mask. Come on. His core loves him. I'm telling you, man, he's not right in the head. But all right. Listen, I just think it was irresponsible. I think it was dangerous. He knows what this disease can do. Yes, it doesn't get everybody. Yes, Joe, you're absolutely right. But they're saying even the people, a lot of the people that survive it, there's permanent damage to them. It affects the whole body. So,
yeah.
It just, I don't know. I don't know.
And I want you to understand something. When I make those statements, it's pretty much for discussion points. You know, I mean, it's a discussion point where I think that's a valid thing, where I think going out now and wearing a mask and going through everything is bullshit. Yeah. No, it's very inconvenient.
No, you're better on it than I am. You actually tell people when they're not wearing a mask. You're actually you're much more militant. You're better at it than I am.
Let me tell you something. I was in the dollar store yesterday because, of course, where else would I be? I was in the dollar store yesterday, and there was a guy in there without a mask. This lady yelled at him, and I was seeing if the guy was in the store, because if I still saw the guy, I was going to tell the people that worked there, this guy's out, you know? Because who knows what this guy's got? And like I said, I was out this weekend. You know, I actually went out to eat this weekend, and we had a nice lunch. We ate outside and stuff like that. You know, and it's just the way things are. You get acclimated to it. I mean, I had to wait. I've got a couple of checks, small checks that I get from an investment. I haven't been to the bank with them in a couple of months because I don't feel like waiting on the line, you know. I've pushed some things around in my direct pay where it goes into the bank that holds my mortgage, where I don't have to wait online to deposit a check for an hour. But like I said, when I first started going to the bank, and this is going back in March, I see this line. It's like, you know, out the door for the drive-thru. I'm like, I'm not waiting on that. Meanwhile, 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I got a good spot. You get acclimated to it.
Well, you do. Listen, and here's the final cherry on top. Then we'll move on to our outstanding display of spite. All right. So you drew 6,200 people for whatever the reason is. You actually have an opportunity to go, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to pack you in. We're going to have you socially distance each other. We know you don't have to wear masks. We know it's not ideal. Spread out. He could have done that. Again, it was one chance to show that he actually cares about his constituents. I know he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about me because I'm not going to vote for him.
That's not true. He said nice things about you.
I don't believe that for 1 minute. But and again, it's just obvious. He does not even care about his constituents. He will not take the basic precautions for their lives. He knows they'll do whatever they say. He says he has all the information. He surrounds himself with plexiglass. He makes sure that people coming to him are going to be tested. But then he says we don't need testing because it leads to more cases. No, it doesn't. You find more cases. It doesn't lead to more cases. And as New York has shown, I think we're testing more than any state in the country. We're testing between 55 and 60,000 people a day, and our rates have gone down. But he says this shit. I don't know why. I don't know why. You know, I wish I knew why.
Just to piss you off.
It doesn't piss me off. It doesn't piss me off. It just lets it make No! You know why it doesn't piss me off? You know why it doesn't piss me off? Because it makes it so readily apparent who the fucking stupid people are. Because and I like to know the stupid. If you're still a Trumpster, and you're gonna tell me he cares about you, I don't even have to engage. I don't have to. I don't even have to have that conversation. We have enough evidence where he don't give a shit about you. I'm not saying the other guy cares about you. I don't want to make that argument, but don't tell me this guy cares about you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's clear.
Yeah. Let's do our outstanding display of spite, which actually ties into this as well. Helps.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
Okay.
So I got the clapper.
I saw you went into the dark. I was wondering what happened over there.
Oh. All right.
I made a noise, the light went out.
So tying into this Tulsa rally, many of those who asked for tickets may have been trolling the president in a stunt organized mainly through the social media platform TikTok from China. Last week, Trump tweeted that almost 1 million people requested tickets for the Saturday night rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and one local official said they expected 100,000 to show up near the arena. But on Saturday, registered attendees didn't fill Tulsa Bank of Oklahoma Center Arena, which admitted rallygoers on a first-come, first-served basis, and the Trump team abandoned plans for the president to speak to an overflow area outside the arena. A coordinated effort was underway on TikTok in the days leading up to Trump's Saturday rally, encouraging people to register online for the free event and not show up. TikTok is normally thought of as a platform for dancing teenagers and not necessarily political action. Trump 2020 campaign manager Brad Pascali, and there's no way he's getting in November, by the way. Mark it down right now. Brad will be on Fox News in no time. Brad Pascali told CNN Saturday, leftists and online trolls doing a victory lap think they somehow impacted rally attendance. Don't know what they're talking about or how our rallies work, he added. That registering for a rally means you've RSVP'd with a cell phone number, and we constantly weed out bogus numbers, as we did with tens of thousands at the Tulsa rally, and calculating our possible attendee pool. These phony ticket requests never factor into our thinking. CNN previously reported that a Trump campaign official had pushed back on the suggestion that such posts played a role in the turnout, telling CNN, "We had a legitimate 300,000 signups of Republicans who voted in the last four elections. Those are not TikTok kids. It was fear of violent protests, snowflakes. This obvious with the lack of families and children at the rally. We normally have thousands of families. Why?" Why? There's nothing a kid wants to do more than go to a political rally. I remember as a kid being so pissed off that mom and dad wouldn't take me to see Dukakis. But I want to see him. I want to see Walter Mondale. Why can't I see Walter Mondale? No kid wants to go to a political rally. And if he does, you're fucking indoctrinating, you horrible human beings, you. But I digress.
Well, as a kid, it's a chance. Well, you got to remember, I mean, you're political, right? But it is a chance to get to see the president.
Yeah,
those guys weren't presidents. You get a chance to see so if you're a kid, maybe you want to go see the president.
I don't know. If you have little kids screaming at Chuck E. Cheese, you think they're going to stand still for a political rally? No, there's going to be like, whoa!
Yeah.
I mean, not just Democrats. There's going to be the kids crying.
Very good.
That's funny. I'll give you that one.
while the TikTok effort seems to have overwhelmingly involved teens and other young people, Mary Jo Laup, a 51-year-old grandmother living in Fort Dodge, Iowa, appears to have played a central role in encouraging people to go to Trump's website, register to attend the event, and not attend. All those of us that want to see this 19,000-seat auditorium barely filled or completely empty, go reserve tickets now and leave him standing alone there on the stage, Laup told her 1,000 or so followers on TikTok. And then alongside the choreographed dances, comedic dares, and schoolyard pranks, the grandmother's prompt became a challenge of its own. Inspired users began posting videos showing they too registered for the event. Similar posts on Instagram and Twitter clocked up thousands of likes. One video with more than 250,000 views called on fans of South Korean pop music in particular to join the trolling campaign. Fans of the music, which is known as K-pop, are a force on social media. They posted over 6 billion tweets last year alone, and they have a history of taking action for social justice causes. Earlier this month, K-pop fans rallied around the Black Lives Matter movement, drowning out White Lives Matter and other anti-black hashtags. Laup, who said she worked on former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg's campaign in Iowa last fall, told CNN she made the initial appeal when upset that the rally was originally set to take place on Juneteenth, the holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. The Trump campaign dismissed the effort last week. Erin Perrine, principal deputy communications director for the Trump campaign, told CNN, leftists do this all the time. They think if they sign up for tickets, that will leave empty seats. Not the case at all. Always way more ticket requests than seats available at a rally. All they're doing is giving us access to their contact information. On Saturday night, as images showed empty sections of the Box Center, Laup and young people on TikTok celebrated. Gen Z is unstoppable, one young person wrote on TikTok. Democratic representative and Joe's favorite person in the world, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, tweeted at Trump campaign manager Brad Pascal, "You just got rocked by teens on TikTok who flooded the Trump campaign with fake ticket reservations and tricked you into believing a million people wanted your white supremacist open mic enough to pack an arena during COVID." Well, the open mic thing, I'll give her credit on that. She wasn't too far from the truth on that. I'll give her that. Steve Schmidt, a Republican strategist who managed John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign, tweeted, "The teens of America have struck a savage blow against at-real Donald Trump. All across America, teens order tickets to this event. The fools on the campaign bragged about a million tickets, LOL." TikTok's owned by a Chinese company. All right. Listen, I don't think that the prank affected attendance. I do think it affected them bragging about how many requests they got, and I do think it affected the raised expectations and getting a little Trumpy all excited about this.
I could imagine there was a meeting on Air Force One back to Washington, and they're all sitting there going, "All right, who's going to tell them?" You know, I'm not going to go in there and tell him it was TikTok. First of all, he's going to wonder why our clock's against him. It's not a fucking Democratic liberal clock. It's these fucking kids.
Well, you know, supposedly before he got out there to speak, when he was behind stage, like, he was, like, raging and everything, and he wanted to talk to Brad, the campaign manager, and Brad was nowhere to be found. Listen, man, they just gotta own this shit. Sometimes you gotta go, yeah, they probably got us on that. They did it. It's okay. Whatever. You know, you just give them credit. You know, hey, we hope to win over the ones that can vote. Give us a chance. And then start putting some shit up on TikTok.
Yeah,
well, now he's gonna have to have a talk with his North Korean pal about what's going on with the K-pop kids.
Well, that's South Korea, dear.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, what kind of shenanigans he can play against them to get back for him?
Are you saying he's going to declare war on K-pop?
It could possibly happen. I'm just
another thing I'm behind him about.
You would love if K-pop got behind one of Fragile Sky's songs. You would love that shit.
Yeah, well, that's
yes.
I don't see a little K-pop band doing Spellcaster anytime soon. So
probably not. Probably not. I did get into it with your former lead singer on my Facebook page, and he quickly got dispatched. He was left saying, "We'll see in November." Okay, stupid. That's what they all say when they lose the argument. We'll see in November. That's not the end of an argument.
Well, we will see in November.
That's not the end. That tells me you lost an argument. That's like, I'll see you tomorrow. That's the end of an argument. I got nothing else. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, I think it's funny. And you know what? Good for these kids. And you know what? The Trump campaign, if they weren't had, then how bad are their fucking metrics? How bad is the way they're collecting data when they can't figure this shit out? So say the kids had nothing to do with it. Then it's even worse. It's even worse. You guys are so bad at this shit that you're going on the media saying there's going to be a million people. You're telling the president there's going to be all these people. Let's set up the outside event because that's what your data says. Either way, you're fucked.
They got to adjust their strategy on how they're going to get how they're going to do these rallies, you know, and one of them is the live events might not be the answer because if you're not doing a lot, if you're doing a live event in a small venue with social distancing, you get your message out to a broader audience.
But Joe, you keep on, Joe, this isn't about his message, man. We all know his message. Listen, nobody's better at communicating whatever the fuck is on his mind at any time of the day or night. This guy is a master at that. I never sit there and go, gee, I wonder what Donald Trump thinks. No, we all fucking know what he thinks about everything. Now, it might not be the same thing he thinks 2 hours from now, but at any given point in time, we know what he thinks. This is purely for his ego. And he has put it this way. He is the one that made crowd size was his calling card. That's how he ran down everybody else when he was running against other Republicans, and then when he was running against the Democrats, and now.
I'm not going to argue with you because, like we discussed before, and basically the guy that's going to beat Trump is going to Trump.
Yes.
So and like I said, if he doesn't listen to reason, he doesn't change strategy on how he's going to present it, and he loses, he doesn't get the votes he needs because he didn't adjust. Well, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do?
Maybe he should be adjusting what he's talking about.
It's like I said, obviously on this show, it's no secret I'm a Trump supporter, but it's his to lose. It's his to lose.
Yes. Yeah. Listen.
But like with Hillary, it was hers to lose.
Yes.
And
she did.
There was a couple of missteps that she didn't take that she should have. It was hers, and due to her having her ego.
Yeah, that's fair.
Get against.
But, you know, nope. Donald Trump is doing this. Donald Trump, he's not leaving this shit. That's had enough of me. Donald Trump's not leaving this to chance. He's talking about mail-in ballots, another fucking red herring to get the base. He and his family and everybody in that cabinet have been doing mail-in ballots for years. The military does mail-in ballots. As Pip brought out a couple weeks ago, you actually have to show identification to vote by mail and everything. It's very safe. But he's doing this to suppress voter turnout, and because if there's a lot of mail-in ballots, he wants to say it was rigged if he loses. That's what this is about.
Well, as we discussed on a previous show, the thing with the mail-in ballots have had a success rate with not a lot of rigging on that. However, mail-in ballots have been done on a small scale.
The whole states allow it, Joe. The whole military does it. Whole states allow it. Is not new.
But as if it becomes nationwide, the propensity for that to be on a larger scale is there.
We've seen what happens, and it's probably, I know a lot of states had primaries today. We did. I know Kentucky, they're worried about things. We've seen what happens in COVID-19, what happens if you don't do the mail-in ballots. You have people waiting for hours online because they closed polling places. My polling place was closed today. You have people waiting online, exposed. You got poll workers getting sick. You get people getting online. You spread it out. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. Again, if you care about the people and you're the best person for the job, let them all vote. But he said himself, the Republicans do better if less people vote. That's his opinion. And I've said this before, if you think the more people that vote, the worse you do, then you're not doing a good fucking job. If you're doing such a good job, Ronald Reagan, what did Ronald Reagan do? Took 49 fucking states? Those 49, those weren't all red conservative states. People felt in 1984 Ronald Reagan was doing such a good job that, you know, party be damned, they're voting for Ronald Reagan. That's how you do shit, Donald Trump. That's how you do it. Do such a good job that you're undeniable. That's all.
His ego is what got him there. His ego may be the thing that gets him out.
That's a fair assessment.
He's got to understand that he's got to change the metrics of how he's going to campaign. Like I said, I'm interested to see what how packed the church was tonight. And it's going to be interesting in Arizona, but there has to be a thing. Maybe he got a hard dose seeing what was transpired on over the weekend. So we'll see what happens. It's his to lose.
It is. All right, let's move on.
Hey.
What? Did you have a quick...
I was just going to say even when given the opportunity to speak in front of a group of people, what did he talk about? He talked about making excuses for how he handled a ramp and how he can really drink from a cup with one hand. I mean, why are you talking about this to voters? Why? Because of the ego. Because
he doesn't have a message. They thought they were going to run on the economy. The economy went in the shitter. Not all his fault. Some of it could have been solved, but clearly not all his fault. And now they're searching. They can't figure it out. Well, you know what? Then don't go out there until you can figure it out. You know, you know, as AOC said, open mic. Yeah, it's a fucking open mic. If you don't have a plan, and the people around you can't come up with a plan, then just admit it's time to go.
Here's the thing. Why don't put people's lives at risk and their health at risk if you've got nothing to fucking say?
All right, let's move on to AMC Theaters. AMC Theaters on Friday reversed its optional mask policy and will require employees and guests to wear masks when the movie theater chain opens. At AMC Theaters, we think it is absolutely crucial that we listen to our guests accordingly, and with the full support of our scientific advisors, we are reversing course and are changing our guest mask policy, wrote Ryan Noonan, the director of corporate communications for AMC. As we reopen theaters, we now will require that all AMC guests nationwide wear masks as they enter and enjoy movies at our theaters. Guests who do not have their own mask will be able to purchase one at the box office for $1. The policy change came a day after CEO Adam Aron said the company would not mandate that guests wear masks in a statement to Variety. We do not want to be drawn into political controversy. We thought it would be counterproductive if we forced mask wearing on those people who believe strongly that it is not necessary. We think that the vast majority of AMC guests will be wearing masks. The company's taken other measures to ensure COVID-19 protocols. So they're they're reduced to 30% of capacity. In my heart of hearts, I think we can manage AMC through the crisis. There are no guarantees. Nobody knows what coronavirus will look like in the winter, how long it will take to get a vaccine. But I can tell you that we have a very able management team, blah, blah, blah. All right, so they're going to open up on July 15th. 400 theaters, then another 150 on July 24th. Regal Cinemas, the number two film exhibitor, confirmed that they are making guests wear masks as well. All right, here's the thing. What is this? We did not want to get involved in a political football, whatever the fuck they were. They have scientific advisors, allegedly. Maybe it's Mr. Wizard.
Listen to me. What he said was a shovel full of bullshit, okay? AMC has a very big problem. They were talking about movie theaters that are in danger of going bankrupt and closing. AMC is one of them. Now, in my old town, in Elwood, they just built a brand new AMC movie theater. Brand new. It hasn't even opened. I think it was open maybe twice, not even a month before they had to close it down. So what I think he's doing is trying to figure a way to bring people in, to get the theaters filled with as quickly as possible, thinking that if people don't have to wear a mask and be inconvenienced, they're going to come. Not realizing that people are very conscious of what's going on, and somebody might have whispered in his ear, like, we're not going to get people if they can come in and there's a...
No, there was backlash. Apparently there was backlash. Listen, I got to be honest. I'm not going to the movies until this shit's cleared up. A movie is just not that important to me. I have enough TV programs and shit. Are you guys going to... You don't go to a lot of movies, Joe. Pip, are you going to go to a movie?
No!
It just...
You do.
I mean, I feel bad for these theaters, but mask or no mask... No, it's just not worth it to sit there with all these people. I'd rather stay home.
Well,
all those droplets flying around.
It depends on the theater. I tell you what. There down in Huntington, there is an AMC theater, and I remember that those girl and I were going to go see a movie, and I had to you have to make a reservation. I'm like, what do I need to make a reservation for? Jesus Christ, it's a state. I make the reservation. I get there. I pick up my ticket. I go in, and it's this theater-style seating with all these comfortable chairs. I'm like, holy smokes, all right, I get it. In a theater like that, if the theater is saying, look, we're practicing social distancing, we're also clean the seats, disinfect the seats after each viewing, and we request you wear a mask. All our employees will wear masks. All our employees will wear gloves and practice the highest safety standards. In a setting like that, which a lot of these AMC theaters are, I would have no problem of going to see the movie. In a regular movie theater where everybody's jam packed like sardines, no, I'm not going.
Here's my problem with this country and with AMC. That they just cowered to the science deniers. Like, oh, some people don't want to wear a mask because they don't think it matters. Fuck those people. You know the science. Stop being a little bitch and fucking follow the science. You will be rewarded.
What they did was initially what I feel they did, right or wrong, is that they went out to a business model that they constructed on reopening. And it was wrong. It was totally wrong on that. And they had to backpedal, and they had to redo the business model on that. You know, like I said, they're rebuilding theaters. The one in my old town is brand new. And they're trying to keep out of bankruptcy, so they're trying to figure something out. You know, and the CEO made a wrong move on that, and they had to redo the whole thing. So you know, we'll see what happens if people are going to go to the movies. You know, people are getting caught, you know, have been cooped up since March. People are starting to get out now. I don't know going into the summer if the movies are really going to fill that much. Usually it's light. Well, if you don't have a blockbuster, and there's really not going to be a blockbuster coming out because the studios don't think the numbers are going to be there. So they're all waiting until 2021.
Studios have pushed a lot of it back.
I'm sorry?
I said the studios have pushed a lot of their movies back. It's the smart move.
Oh, yeah, it is a smart move just due to the fact that if you're going to release a blockbuster you spent, you know, millions and millions on, going in where you know that the receipts are going to be low. It doesn't make sense. So AMC, the movie theaters have got to figure this out. Obviously, there was a misstep, and they're trying to correct the misstep. But you know, you're on the face of bankruptcy. You don't have many movies to show. You got to try to figure something out. You know.
All right, let's move on. An Ohio man said in an now viral video that he was fired from his Taco Bell job after refusing to take off his Black Lives Matter face mask last week. Denzel Skinner, 29, who worked at Youngstown Taco Bell restaurant for 8 years, was fired on June 8th. He said, "This is crazy, all because I got a Black Lives Matter mask on that I'm losing my job," which has since been, so this was a video that he had on Facebook. "We can wear any type of mask." In the beginning of the live stream posted on the day of his firing, an unidentified woman approaches Skinner in his car outside the restaurant and can be heard telling him that the masks need to be plain. "You can't bring politics into the building." "Bro, I'm not bringing politics in. This is what I'm standing for," Skinner shot back. "Like, how is this considered politics?" Skinner told WFMJ last week that masks became a requirement for employees on May 4th, and the notice didn't have any fine print on it. It just said we have to wear a mask. He told WKBN that he wore the cover because the surgical masks provided to employees make it difficult to breathe when it's warm. And to make matters worse, the restaurant's air conditioning recently broke. So he decided to switch to the Black Lives Matter face mask, which was easy to breathe through. It just isn't that ironic. It just makes it hotter with that surgical mask on. A manager told him to take it off, but he refused and headed for the door, according to the report. He was then told if he walked out, he would be fired, and that's what happened. Skinner said he wore the mask as a way to speak up following the police-involved death of George Floyd in Minnesota and the protests that ensued nationwide. "Someone made the mask for him," he said. "If the governor and governments are requiring us to wear masks, we should be able to wear any type of mask that you want," he told WFMJ. "And not only that, I still want everyone to believe that we still need justice for what is happening in the world, and people need to be held accountable for whatever mistakes that they make. Black lives are going to always matter, not just when some people want it to matter. It always matters." Taco Bell told USA Today Thursday that its chief people officer, that sounds made up, and parent company Yummy's chief diversity and inclusion officer spoke with Skinner last week to apologize and discuss the situation. "Our goal is to ensure our policies are inclusive and keep our team members and customers safe. While our policies at restaurants do not prohibit team members from wearing Black Lives Matter masks, we are working to clarify our mask policy so this doesn't happen again. We believe Black Lives Matter. We were disappointed to learn about the incident that took place in Youngstown, Ohio. We take this very seriously. We have been working closely with our franchisee that operates this location to address the issue." I think, you know, first of all, if you don't have any fine print, you can't bitch when somebody wears a mask, whether it's Black Lives Matter, the New York Yankees, a swastika, whatever it is. If you're going to put something out and you don't clarify, you get what you get, and you can't blame people for that shit. I'm just sorry. I think when Black Lives Matter started, geez, what was that, 2014, 15, something like
that? Oh, gosh, I don't know.
About 5-6 years ago. I think it was, to a lot more people, it was more of a political thing. Geez, I believe we have Joe saying it was a terrorist group at the time. Now what he calls Antifa, I believe he used that for Black Lives Matter at the time. I think in this place where we are in 2000.
I never did.
I might be wrong, but I think...
I know Antifa.
I know about Antifa. Anyway, I think in 2020, where we are now, the vast majority of the populace, liberal or conservative, you hear Black Lives Matter, most people go, yeah, of course they do. I don't think it's as political. Some people still consider it a political statement, but I think the vast majority go, yeah, that makes sense. Black lives do matter. I don't think it's that controversial anymore.
Oh, no, I don't agree with you.
No, you're wrong.
I think it is.
I think I saw like 76% of the of people like support these protests.
Right, but I still think that it is controversial enough that it is a political stance still.
No, I said that to some people, but not what it was. I think, like I said...
No. It's becoming more understandable,
yes,
and more people are on board.
Yes.
But it's still political. It's still charged.
And the thing about it is you're working for you know, a place, and you're making a statement with a mask, which, you know, you're making a political statement at a job, which is your opinion, but it may or may not be the place you work for opinion where you're force feeding or showing, you know, an opinion on that. To give you an example, we started the show. We were just about to start the show last week, and I had a shirt from the day program on, and I made sure I changed it because you could clearly see the name of the company, and I made sure I changed that shirt really quick because whatever debates we have, whatever discussions that we have, whatever opinions I might have on the show is not the opinion of the place that I, or, you know, or reflective of the place that I work for. And I made sure that that was not shown. I mean, it could be a problem or whatever, but I made sure that my personal opinions on our show are not reflected on a show, you know, or with the day, a shirt of my day program on it.
Well,
so
now,
in regards to this, I feel that, you know, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but I do feel that the, you know, the mask, it should be just a regular plain mask on that.
But now Taco Bell corporate is on record saying they support Black Lives Matter. So this guy should.
Don't get me. Oh, believe me, he had to do fucking some backpedaling. As a matter of fact, the guy at AMC said that's some fancy footwork there.
You know, here's the thing.
You can't go out and be Taco Bell and go, well, that's our policy. No, there won't be a burrito to be sold for years. Yeah.
Well, also the guy was working there 8 years. You're that quick to fire somebody over a policy that's not clearly delineated for wearing a mask one day for 8 years? You know, the best way to handle it, listen, I don't know how corporate feels about this. Wear it today because it's what you have. I'm going to buy you a more comfortable generic mask. I don't want to start problems here. Let's just do it that way. I support you and what you're saying, but you know what? We don't need a situation in the lobby over burrito. You get the wrong white supremacist in here. Let's not do that. That would be the intelligent way to handle that shit. And it still might not clear up the situation. But to fire somebody who's been working there for eight years and to get pigheaded over this when it doesn't say there's a limitation on masks, it was handled wrong.
Yeah, it was handled badly, especially since it wasn't even their policy and she was just all of a sudden got rigid about something that wasn't a policy and fired an 8-year employee over it, over something that wasn't even clear. Stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean, I
the mask, I think the air, see, it gets very tricky, you know, and like I said, it's just assessing the situation where you had, the problem was is that the air conditioning was broken at the store and the mask that they had was uncomfortable and he switched to this mask that was comfortable. You have a manager that could get fired over your employee wearing the Black Lives Matter. You might have a regional that might say, well, that's still unacceptable. I don't care. You know, it's a tricky situation. It's a very tricky situation because with no air conditioning, I mean, wear the mask. I mean, if you're comfortable and we can't provide air conditioning and it's, you know, being a situation where it is uncomfortable and you're sitting there for 8 hours, you know, you got to make that choice. But then you got to realize I might get fired because if my regional finds out or walks in, now there's a problem. So, it was very tough.
Yeah, I just feel like it was handled. I don't feel, like I said, I know it's political to some people. Now, if it was an Antifa mask, not that I look at Antifa the way Joe does, but if it was an Antifa mask, I understand that today that's still more controversial than a Black Lives Matter mask. I mean, most America is moving. America, you know, after 400 years, we're starting to become a little bit more enlightened when it comes to race relations. I mean, you're starting to see this thing. Like even I feel that, like, when Black Lives Matter, my instinct back when it started was all lives matter. Because, of course, all lives matter. But now I understand and go, well, all lives can't matter if black lives don't matter and innocent black people are dying on the streets. I get it now. So when somebody says Black Lives Matter, I go, of course they do. And that's how I've evolved, and I'm progressive. So, you know,
well, what happened is this. You have basically you had this moon. Unfortunately, that gentleman died. You know, we all saw it. But what happened is because of COVID, everybody's sitting around with nothing else better to do. You have all these marches, a lot of them with people, white millennials, because basically they feel they've been disenfranchised because they've gone to debt with student loans. They can't get a job with a degree they have. Nobody wants to listen, and they feel, well, why don't we jump on this movement? And then it gives us something to say about something. And you.
Well, we talked about that. I don't agree with you, and we're going to find out come election day. I think. Listen, man, just look at NASCAR, and then we're going to move on. We're going to skip the slave story. We'll do that another week. We'll do the renaming the school thing. But Bubba Wallace is the only African-American full-time NASCAR driver. He came out and said we should get rid of the Confederate flags at NASCAR. They got rid of the Confederate flags before the race on Sunday at Talladega, which was supposed to be on Sunday. It wound up being Monday because of rain. They found somebody left a noose in his garage where his car was. It's very tight security. It's probably somebody who works at NASCAR did this. So you can't say, well, it's not, the Confederate flag has nothing to do with racism. Well, the guy who made you get rid of the Confederate flag, you immediately do something racist like that. Okay, so what do the people in NASCAR, all the drivers, all the pit crews, this is NASCAR, which has a long history of Dixie and the Confederate flag and all that. They put Bubba Wallace was in the front. They pushed him to the front in the honorary first pole position and walked behind Bubba Wallace. That's fucking NASCAR. That's not some left-wing liberal snowflake think tank. Yeah, that's fucking Dixie NASCAR. The country is changing. Maybe because we saw George Floyd, because we were all at home, maybe that was the fucking thing, and then all these other stories came out, and this was right on the heels of Ahmaud Arbery, where the joggers killed, and the fucking filthy Georgia police hide it because it's a former cop that killed them. But you know what? Whatever the case is, because I'll tell you what, Philando Castile was murdered in Minneapolis, and that cop got acquitted. Maybe the country's at a place where we just go, enough. And that's not a bad thing for this country. It's a really good thing.
I think the country is going to be at a place where they say enough with all these riots, people tearing down statues they don't even know the history of. I think the silent majority is going to speak.
Well, who is this? You keep on saying silent majority. I know it can't be Trump fans because they're never silent and they were never the majority. So who is the silent majority?
The people that are sitting there watching people taking down statues, not taking down statues that don't even have anything to do, they don't even look at the history of the statue, taking it down.
Well, that's a good lead into what we're going to discuss
even know
now.
What marching for
that? Well, you know, I think what we'll listen.
Getting fed up.
Listen, I mean, you know, vandalism is. Yeah, I'm not really in support of vandalism. I guess they vandalized that church again right outside the White House, and I just shook my head, going, "What the fuck you doing? You're not going to get anybody."
But that's the optic everybody's getting.
Well, no. The vast majority, the vast majority of these protests have been peaceful. You do have some flare-ups. I don't know who's doing it. You do have some, I don't know if it's some right-wing antagonists, some left-wing antagonists, some kids that are bored, or some people that really feel the stature needs to come down. I don't know who's doing it, but it doesn't help. But that's the minority. That's the same thing as saying you want to judge all cops by the bad cop. No, you can't judge all these protesters by the shitheads who are defaming churches and just vandalizing shit. You can't judge it. There's some shitheads, but the vast majority are the good. So that's where we are with that. But it's a good lead into our final story before we take our final break for the evening. This was Joe's blog this week. Two San Francisco area elementary schools named after a pair of founding fathers who owned slaves will get new names after a school board approved a Black Lives Matter resolution last week. The Berkeley Unified School District Board unanimously endorsed the measure on Wednesday amid renewed efforts nationwide to take a second look at monuments and buildings honoring controversial figures. The move means that the board can bring the process of renaming schools named after George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the first and third presidents, respectively. It was not clear what names are under consideration. The district already has schools named after Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, and Sylvia Mendez, the child of at the center of the 1947 case that outlawed segregation in California schools. A push to rename Jefferson Elementary School failed in 2005 when a motion on the matter didn't pass. Marguerite Tally Hughes, a former Jefferson teacher who now teaches at Rosa Parks Elementary, has been pushing to change the name of the school for nearly 20 years. During her final 7 years at Jefferson, she referred to it as Sequoia, according to the Daily Californian, a student-run newspaper. I wore a t-shirt where I replaced the letters Jefferson with the letters for Sequoia, Tally Hughes said. I wore it every Wednesday at assembly to protect my heart and my soul from this abuse, this racism, and also to let the children who had voted to know the truth. Aside from renaming the two schools, the resolution also calls for anti-racism training for district teachers and staff and a year-round Black Joy campaign described as resources and trainings for teachers to identify the additional measures of racial inequity and collect data in the schools. Across the country move... All right. Well, first of all, those other measures are good. Those other measures are definitely good to do that. Here's where it is. Here's where it gets... You get in trouble when you judge people from history by today's standards. Now, some are pretty easy. You know what? Hitler, bad dude. Any generation. You never.
Lousy painter too.
Well, he's no George W. Bush. What are you gonna do? But listen, Yes, Washington and Jefferson were slave owners. We know this country was formed on a great fucking sin, on one of our great fucking sins. We know that. But if you look at the bigger picture, George Washington freed his slaves before his death. Thomas Jefferson had kids with his slaves. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that says I love you. I think that's a slave and that's kind of rapey, if you ask me.
You can't
rapey? It's rapey.
It's totally rapey. It's not kind of rapey.
But I mean, supposedly they loved each other. Whatever. Okay. But
that's right.
They put together the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, for what our country still is struggling to achieve. Though they cannot live up to those expectations themselves, they put together great documents. They were great men who had flaws, and it is. Flaws. You know, it'd be great to say George Washington never had a slave, but he did. So are you going to rename? No, I think you teach better. Go listen. We're named after George Washington. Here are the great things he did. Unfortunately, he also owned slaves, and this is how he viewed slave ownership. And the same thing with Thomas Jefferson. Because of the overwhelming good that they did for our nation, we are still named after them. That being said, I can't argue with this because it was done locally. And if the people don't want it, the people don't want it. And who are we to tell them that they're wrong? It's their school. If it happened in my school, would I vote for it? No. Would I be outraged if it changed? No. Because, you know, if people of color felt that insulted and it felt like it was giving their kids such a negative experience, then change it. But for my mind, these are two men that did a lot more good than bad.
But you're exactly right. It's actually my blog almost to the T. My whole thing is, with that in mind, you know, if you rename the schools and change it, you these great men that were living with the times that they were back then are losing the credit for all the good they did. You know, with these statues and everything, you're removing history and a teaching and a talking point in history. And I think it's just got totally out of hand. Pip, what do you got?
No, I was just going to say that I like with the statues, I don't think that the naming of schools or statues are meant necessarily to teach, like, because that's what we have, books and museums and, you know, now we have television shows and documentaries about, but they're to applaud and look up to those figures that we name things for. So I go with Davin's point in that of course they were flawed, and of course they did this thing that the people of wealth were doing at that point until it became obvious to them, you know, I think this is the wrong way. And, you know, like Washington said, I'm going to free them, you know, and before I die and tried to write it that way. He did so much more good for our country, even though he was doing this obviously flawed thing that was of the time. I mean, you know, I think that good people probably, you know, struggled a lot with what they were doing at that time. But, you know, they were, you know, like, well, I'm going to say Washington specifically, what did more good for the country? So it's like, but you teach in school a more nuanced, balanced version of who these founders of our country were, because that's what we should be telling kids anyway, that there's not like this one-sided perfect man.
Here, I'll give you an example in the black community. We hold Martin Luther King Jr. up on a pedestal, rightfully so. Yeah. The way he treated women as a womanizer and constantly cheating on them does not hold up today. So,
So
are we going to tear down Martin Luther King Jr. statue? Are we going to change every Martin Luther King Boulevard because of that? No. These are human beings. They are flawed.
I'm sorry. I'm bored right now. I'm very bored. You know why? Because it's like you're channeling me.
No, never, never. Get that out of your mind.
He doesn't want to play or fight. Absolutely right. And that's what I was thinking before, because basically those guys were flawed. I mean, Martin Luther King was a womanizer and stuff like that, but a very great man. You know,
right.
We're all human. We're all human.
Gandhi had terrible flaws.
Everybody, John F. Kennedy.
Mandela.
Yes.
Had terrible flaws.
Yeah.
He was another womanizer. Mandela was a womanizer. Yeah, I mean,
right.
you can't. We're liberals, I guess, get into trouble, because it's mostly liberals in this case, where they get in trouble with their wokeness is when they want to judge everybody by how we feel today. What they don't understand is it's progressive because things keep on progressing. So 20 years from now, the things that we say 20 years from now, people are going to go, "What the fuck were you guys thinking? That wasn't woke enough. You guys were horrible." You have to take into consideration the times. Now, where this differs from me is the Confederates, traitors, treasonous. You went against the United States. That's why it's very easy for me. Whereas George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, founding fathers, created the United States. And again, Andrew Jackson, I would fucking take that statue down. He's known for the Trail of Tears. He was known for just brutalizing Native American Indians and his fucking slaves. He was known as a terrible person. I don't know why that guy's on the $20 bill. So I think there's some things that you can look at and go, you know, it's one thing to move Native Americans. It's another thing to brutalize. You know, I think you have to look at things through a Pip, you froze, I think. Yes, you froze.
Yeah.
But you have to look at things historically. And listen, like I said, I get it. I get why you're upset with Washington and Jefferson. For my money, I say let him stand.
Yeah.
Same here. And right along the lines of the blog, it's like you read my blog.
Well, I did, Joe. I did read your blog. It's kind of the job.
Yeah, but, you know, it's along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at the good with people, you know, the good that people have done over the things that they might not have. Your point with Martin Luther King was spot on, where he was a great man and did a great thing and moved the race, you know, the race relations, you know, the equality way ahead. But he was a womanizer and he had his, you know, you don't look at that. You look at the great people do.
Well, I think you look at it all. I think it's more healthy if you look at it all. You look at the,
at the whole picture.
I look at it as more inspiring. Because only Donald Trump doesn't think he has flaws, honestly. Most everybody else, we know we have flaws. Whether we want to show them to the world in our quiet moments, we know we have flaws. So when you see other people reach great heights who have flaws, I think it's kind of inspiring. Go, you know what? I'm not unredeemable. I have hope, too. I can, even though I have these bad qualities about me, I can still do good things and make a positive difference. I think it's inspiring.
Because everybody has bad qualities about them, you know?
Not me. Not me. Perfect. Never ask God for forgiveness.
everybody's got bad qualities about them. But if you aspire to do greatness, you know, then that should be realized over the bad quality. I mean, not you're a horrible person, but, you know, everybody, we're all human, you know? And you have to realize the great things that you've done while you're here, while you're doing, you're currently here, or if you passed on, you know, and that's a memory in time. And also, you know, and people don't read books. People don't go to museums. A statue is a teaching point.
Who are you hanging out with? What do you mean people don't read books? You read books.
Yeah. People do go to museums, surprisingly
enough. What are you talking about?
Stop. When I'm there. there.
Stop hanging out with cretins.
Really?
I love books and museums. And I'm being serious.
Yeah, we had to go to a museum because of you. What are you fucking talking about?
But what I'm talking about is a lot of people don't.
Well, they're idiots.
A lot of people don't.
Well, a lot of people are idiots. I can't help them. But for you to say that.
A lot of people are idiots. And my statement, I love you. I've been trying to get to the Smithsonian forever. I love books. I try to read as much as I can, you know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't.
All right. Let's take our last break. When we come back, I will introduce the world to Carolyn Fuchs, or Fox. I don't know what the fuck it is, to be honest with you. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. Last break, and we will be right back.